In high school volleyball action last night in Hawkeye 10 conference play, it was Red Oak downing Atlantic 2-0. Shenandoah had to go the distance to down Atlantic 3-2. Red Oak also beat Shenandoah in the rest of that triangular last night 3-0. Kemper Catholic down Clarinda in 3 straight. Lewis Central took 3 in a row from Glenwood. St. Albert a 3-game sweep over Denison, and Harlan took 3 in a row from Creston. Also in action last night, the Western Iowa Conference Tournament semifinals saw Tri-Center defeat Audubon by a final of 3-0. Also, Trainer beat IKM Manning 3-2 last night. In the Pride of Iowa Conference Tournament semifinals, Southwest Valley beat Central Decatur 2-1. It was Mount Air sweeping 2 over I-35. Consolation saw Central Decatur sweep 2 over I-35. Championship went to Mount Air 3-0 over Southwest Valley. Also last night in Rolling Valley Conference play, Exira EHK beat Booyer Valley 3-0. It was Charter Oak Ute, a 3-2 winner over Woodbine. Coon Rapids Bayard swept 3 from Peyton Sherdan. In the Corner Conference, Stanton over Clarinda Academy in 3 straight. Essex took 3 of 4 from Fremont Mills. Sydney beat Heartland Christian 3-0. Also in volleyball last night, it was ACGC defeating Madrid 3-1. On high school cross-country action, Pride of Iowa Conference cross-country championships were held last night. Nottoway Valley grabbed 3 of the 4 titles. Individually, Reagan Weinheimer won the girls' race from Nottoway Valley, and Shane Breheny of Nottoway Valley won the boys' race, and the Nottoway Valley boys also captured the team title. Weinheimer won her first Pride of Iowa Conference title with a time of 20 minutes, 33.93 seconds. She's just a freshman. Also in action yesterday on the boys' side, Nottoway Valley had 6 of the top 7 runners in last night's race. Shane Breheny winning his 3rd conference championship as he picked up the victory there. That's in the Pride of Iowa Conference cross-country championships. Also in the high school cross-country rankings, both the team and individual rankings released yesterday by the Iowa Association of Track Coaches. In the team rankings, in Class 1A on the boys' side, Nottoway Valley is top-rated with Tri-Center 7th, Booyer Valley 10th, Woodbine 15th. On the girls' side in Class 1A, Griswold is ranked 12th, Logan Magnolia 14th. 2A boys, Shenandoah is ranked 10th, and the 2A girls, Shenandoah Essex, is ranked 10th as well. Class 3A boys, Denison 14th ranked, and in 3A girls, Denison is 12th ranked. Individually, in Class 1A, on the boys' side, Jerry Jorgensen of Trainer is ranked 3rd, Shane Breheny of Nottoway Valley ranked 5th, Ben Barrett of Booyer Valley is ranked 9th, David Thompson of Griswold is rated 17th, just ahead of Bryson Wallace of Nottoway Valley, who's 18th. Connor Garrett of Booyer Valley is 20th. Zach Ambrose of Booyer Valley is 23rd. And Brayton Funk of Nottoway Valley ranked 24th. 2A girls, Carly Larson of Underwood is ranked 6th this week, with Alexis Cook of Missouri Valley ranked 10th, Claire Campbell of Shenandoah Essex 17th rated. 3A boys, David Salazar of Denison ranked 20th, Ben Grody of Kemper Catholic is ranked 21st, Phoenix Shadden of Atlantic is ranked 28th this week. 3A girls, Reagan Anderson of Denison is 13th, her teammate Ellie Mendlick is ranked 23rd. McGuire Midkiff, Thomas Jefferson is ranked 27th in the 4A boys rankings this week. Iowa picked up a much-needed win at Minnesota, and football coach Kirk Ferentz says his team must continue to make progress as they get set for the second half of the season. The Hawkeyes take a 4-2 mark on the road this weekend to Purdue.
Obviously, the clock is running right now. We're running a real tight racer. We've only got 6 weeks left, so we're pushing as fast and as hard as we can. But, you know, you're only allowed to practice so long. And they're, more importantly, you're only, you know, the players can only practice so long or they're going to be dead on Saturday. So, yeah, you just gotta keep pushing and be as smart as you possibly can, knowing that, you know, you can't be perfect, but you're always trying to move forward.
A win on Saturday would be a record 9th straight on the road for the Hawkeyes.
A win on the road, you need a team that's got some maturity. They've got to understand what you're trying to get accomplished. And, you know, stick to the routine. Don't get distracted, whether it's Manhattan out the window a couple weeks ago or, you know, this week will look a lot different as we're landing, looking out the window. So all that stuff really doesn't matter. We're going to play a football game, no different than if we were going over to Kinnick. And once the game gets going, you've got to be focused on that game, not the environment.
Well, Ferentz says one of the keys to winning on the road is maturity. Iowa shuffled its offensive line for the Minnesota game, and the offense responded with 179 yards rushing.
I was just trying to get guys, I think, where they might be a little bit more comfortable and maybe had a little better cohesion. The whole group had better cohesion. So it was hardly a finished product, but I think we made strides the other day, and, you know, we'll just have to keep pushing forward, but I'm encouraged.
Purdue is 3-2 on the year following an overtime win at Illinois. Boilermaker head coach Daryl Hazel says the more college football changes, the more Iowa stays the same.
I've been able to play them since 2004, and they haven't changed. The offensive line is really good, I think, blocking the zone, the lead zone, the split zone. They've done a good job, more so this year, running power. They don't turn it over. And then they play their shell defense. They play the two-cover shell defense, and everybody knows where they're supposed to be. And that's why they're so consistent.
Hazel says the key against Iowa is execution. He also says the defense needs to control Iowa's run game and put some pressure on quarterback C.J. Beathard.
He's really accurate with the football, and it's coming out of his hands really fast. He throws that bubble to those detached receivers really well, accurately, so they can catch it and run with it. So we're going to have to get after him a little bit.
Iowa hasn't looked like a Big Ten title defender in recent weeks, yet with the season halfway over, that's exactly what the Hawkeyes are. Iowa slogged its way through the first half of this season, racking up ugly victories with a pair of defeats that were even uglier. But the Hawkeyes have already won twice on the road in league play, and West Division favorites Wisconsin and Nebraska still have to play in Iowa City. Iowa will look to extend the nation's third-longest road win streak to 9 games with a visit to Purdue this weekend. And we'll have that game Saturday for you here on the radio. Tonight, we'll have Hawk Talk with Kirk Ferentz. You can hear more from the head Hawk this evening. 6:30 is Hawk Talk tonight. Well, clearly, number 2 Ohio State and number 4 Michigan have been the class of the Big Ten so far. Number 8 Wisconsin and number 10 Nebraska will get a chance to prove the conference isn't the Big 2 and the Little 8 like it used to be years ago when Woody Hayes was leading the Buckeyes and Bo Schembechler coaching the Wolverines. The Badgers have to beat the Buckeyes on Saturday at home to stay highly ranked and to prove they belong among the Big Ten's best after a closely contested loss at Michigan. The Cornhuskers, who play Saturday at Indiana, will get their chance in back-to-back road games October 29th against Wisconsin and November 5th against Ohio State. Nebraska coach Mike Riley says he didn't personally peek ahead to those opponents during the team's recent bye week, but the program is keeping tabs on the schools it'll face later on in the schedule. Well, Big Ten coaches appear to be largely in favor of last week's proposals by the Division I Council that would create early signing periods in June and December instead of in February. Iowa coach Kirk Ferentz says that to him it makes perfect sense. At least two coaches, Maryland's D.J. Durkin and Ash, don't want to make an early signing period any earlier than December. Ash says he doesn't think it's a good path. Well, the Chicago Cubs are now 4 victories away from their first World Series berth since 1945. The Cubs have advanced to the National League Championship Series by scoring 4 times in the 9th inning off the Giants' imploding bullpen to earn a 6-5 victory in San Francisco. The Cubs took Game 4 after Giants starter Matt Moore held them to 1 earned run and 2 hits while striking out 10 over 8 innings. San Francisco manager Bruce Bochy went through 5 relievers in the 9th with each allowing at least 1 base runner. The series rally began with the Giants up 5-2. Chris Bryant led off with a single and moved to second on a walk to Anthony Rizzo, scoring on Ben Zobrist's RBI double. Cubs manager Joe Maddon won a chess match with Bochy as pinch hitter Wilson Contreras poked a 2-run single to tie the game. Maddon initially wanted to use lefty hitting Chris Coughlin as a pinch hitter against Sergio Romo before Bochy brought in southpaw Will Smith. Javier Baez supplied the tie-breaking single against Smith to send the Cubs into the LCS. Baez homered for the only run in Chicago's Game 1 victory. David Ross provided the Cubs' first 2 hits with a solo homer and a sacrifice fly. Connor Gillespie was 4-for-4 with an RBI and a run scored for the Giants, who had won 10 straight games when facing elimination. Hector Rondon worked a scoreless 8th to pick up the win. Aroldis Chapman closed out the victory, notching his 3rd save of the series by striking out the side in the 9th inning. Now, the Cubs still don't know who they'll host in Game 1 of the NLCS on Saturday. That's because the Dodgers have forced a 5th and deciding game in their division series. They downed the Washington Nationals 6-5 in Los Angeles. L.A. coughed up a 3-run lead in the 7th before Chase Utley stroked an RBI single in the bottom of the 8th to extend that series. Game 5 is set for Thursday at Nationals Park, where the Nats will try to win a playoff round for the first time since the franchise fled Montreal after the 2004 season. Max Scherzer will start for Washington against either lefty Rich Hill or rookie Julio Urias. Scherzer lost Game 1, Hill dropped Game 2, and Urias hasn't pitched yet in the series. That's Check of Sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.